This is Due by Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, watch episode 1 of Survivor season 38.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Merlin. Max isn't here yet, but we've got official Due by Friday artist, Kevin Budnick. Here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's just in the studio. There's people just in my studio.
You guys run a pretty tight operation there.
I know. I had eyes on Max, and then he just went away. Hmm. Max, where are you? That channel is not recording, but...
Will you tell Kevin something for me?
Sure, yes.
My family loves the Savvy Print.
Merlin's family loves the Savvy Print.
My wife has put it up. Aww. On her desk at work.
Oh, you got to turn up the amplifier. Why is everybody taking photographs of me?
What is happening, Alex? Are we doing a show? What's happening?
I don't know. I wish I knew.
This is the way you guys live. This is not the way I live. What is happening?
I don't know.
Is this the show?
I don't know.
Here's what happens. I pick up the microphone and I listen very quietly. I'm here 20 minutes early. And here's what I hear. And then I hear Max screaming about coffee in the background or something, or fans, or whatever the fuck you people are upset. What is happening?
Kevin, do you want to get on mic 3? That's where Max usually sits. Then you can.
Kevin, I'm so sorry you've been drawn into this.
He's so mad.
I meant mic 4. I meant mic.
Oh my god.
Oh god. Oh,
Max is gonna be so mad.
I know.
No, this one
really. Max mad.
Oh boy.
I don't speak truth to power. I'm scared of my landlord.
Oh no, I am not afraid of my landlord.
He's just stupid. No, he's just stupid.
Exactly. Just stupid. That's. It's kind of like.
How stupid is he? Does he affect like a stupid guy way of talking? Does he say things like "der"?
You can't put those
kind of blinds aren't allowed on there because they have to use nails. Nails are the only way for a wall.
To give people a baseline, this man tells stories and has affectations way more annoying and way less coherent than me.
Does your landlord give you war stories about bad tenants?
No, because we're his first.
Oh, wow. You popped his landlord cherry.
Exactly. Yeah. However, he says that we are his best tenants because we always pay rent on time.
Well, that's not how that...
I feel like that's not how
you're his first and you're his best.
Yeah.
There's no...
you're the best I've really... ever had.
Hey, you're my favorite daughter. Kevin's not loud enough in the talking.
I'm not loud enough. Turn me up.
Yeah, you, Kevin.
I don't know podcasts.
You're fine, Kevin. I don't know how you got drawn into this. I'm so sorry.
Well, that's it's okay. Because he's not talking into the microphone. That's
yeah, no, that's my
fault. Wow.
That was problem number one.
Do I have to eat it?
You ever heard of punching up, Alex?
I heard that I have to eat the mic. Is that true?
Yes.
I wouldn't call it that.
It's called self-care.
Yes.
Hi, Kevin. How are you? It's nice to chat with you.
Hi, Merlin. It's nice to finally chat with you.
I enjoy your work so much. It's so neat. And, my family is so enjoying, your work. Anyway, I don't know. I've never really had the exact opportunity, I don't think. Have we talked before? I feel like we haven't.
No, I don't think we ever have.
Good. Okay. I mean, good in the sense that I'm glad my memory still has some sort of dignity.
I like to think of myself as sort of the silent fourth Beatle of the Due by Friday podcast. Sort of the Ringo.
Yeah. I think you're our Billy Preston. You know, you can get on the keys. I don't know. You feel free. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. So do you work? Do you toil in that office, Kevin?
I do. I've been subject to many a magic trick. In the middle of the workday when I'm just trying to, you know, do my job or whatever.
Kevin, why does he hurt you? Why does he do that? Does he let you know? Do you get like a memo? Do you know to these companies? He just shows up and hear cards?
You do. It's he gets that look in his eye.
Yeah.
When he approaches your desk. You can totally see it coming. It's the sort of like looking around to see if anybody's paying attention and feeling his pockets. And then all of a sudden out comes a deck of cards. And then it's like, hey, draw one. Hey, can I show you magic
trick? You're supposed to ask consent first. That's not
he
right.
He does. No, yeah. He does.
Yeah. Can I show you a magic trick?
Yeah, it's always yeah. Can I show uh-huh. you a magic trick?
See, for me, it would be like, first of all, I would never do a magic trick. That's just mm-hmm. wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for children.
Well, okay. it's for children and pickup artists. you should at least say, hey.
Oh, hi. Hey.
Kevin, is this a good time for me to show you a magic trick?
Welcome to your podcast, Max.
Oh, hey, Max.
Max, can you bring me my coffee?
Can I come? Oh!
Can you bring me my coffee? It's on my desk.
The worm has turned.
Thank
you. Grace.
I'm the dad now.
You are. You're the jazz dad. You're the daddy. You're the daddy. You're the one making the sauce, Kevin.
Uh-huh. Yes, daddy.
Uh-huh. Daddy.
Daddy. Bring daddy. Me daddy's brown sauce. It's on my
daddy.
Desk.
Daddy, may I have more sauce?
Daddy, I put almond milk in my sauce. This morning.
I made the sauce saucier in a fresh way. I'm a good boy. I'm going to clean my plate. Does daddy love the artist? The artist loves the daddy. Sound of squeaking chaps walking away.
Oh.
Oh no.
Oh, this is a fun show we've got going on here.
What are you working on right now? What are you excited about right now, Kevin?
Oh God.
You do your comic. I see your comic in the Patreon showing up. What are you excited about?
What am I excited about? I don't know. I'm just doing plugging away at Patreon really. I've been painting a lot lately, actually.
Painting, wow, really? Do you draw? One thing I love in your stuff, I love that you can kind of see the pencil lines before you like ink over it. I love that. Do you do, when you paint, do you like draw something, sketch something on a canvas, or you just get all fucking Bob Ross from day one?
I've been trying to get way more Bob Ross with it. Seriously, yeah. It's like...
It's a different thing. It's such a different thing.
It's totally a different thing, yeah. It's a new way to play with it. It's like just splotting the paint on the palette is very therapeutic
Kevin
to me, actually.
Made a very upsetting hand motion.
What's upsetting about this hand motion?
I don't know.
Splotting?
That's upsetting. I don't know.
What's upsetting about this?
Max is doing something. Is the microphone loose?
I sort of cucked Max...
Kevin, you're the daddy bird. You're just spitting that suet right in the baby's mouth. You're a good daddy, Kevin. Kevin's a good daddy now. He used to be a good boy. Now he's a good daddy. He takes care of his little birds.
The little boy has become the daddy.
Hi, Merlin.
Hi, buddy. How's it going? The student has become the master.
Oh. You know what, Merlin? I found out something. I found out about a new feeling I had, because yesterday I was driving up to the office and with Matchy, and I was like, oh, Max is back. But Max was not back. There was just a car in his spot. And I was apparently really excited for Max to be back. I don't know. Yeah, wasn't that sweet? Thank you.
He's just returning from his sojourn to California?
Yeah, where were you, Max?
Yeah, we're doing a little cards retreat in California. One time we had an intern here, and everyone was like going out to lunch or something, and the intern just yelled out, looking at me, like asked Jen or something. They were like, "Is Dad coming?" Meaning me.
Oh no!
Oh no!
God, how is that worse than Daddy? And yet it is.
Is Dad coming?
I'll be ordering for the table.
That's my favorite son, intern Corey.
Oh man.
The lady will have the diet plate.
Max, when you go out to dinner, do you ask the server their name?
I don't want to know. You know what?
No.
We've talked about this a little bit on the show, but you know, I think that's kind of it's a little bit of a boomer thing.
It's a dad move.
Boomers, it's a big dad move. Mm-hmm. In fact, my dad does. Sorry, Dad. I know he listens, but it's my dad does this, and his thing.
Well, I'm Professor Temkin, and I'll be your customer.
He really likes. He'll like make jokes, and his thing is his thought process. Because I've been like, why do you do this? And his thought process is like, well, the server, they have this like monotonous job, And they all they're doing is dealing with people. And they probably just appreciate being recognized as a person.
Yes.
And like someone
just
like making jokes. But, you know, I've had those monotonous jobs before. And like really what you want is to kind of get into a flow and just and just assembly line it and like get through your fucking day so you can go home and watch Survivor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's a similar thing where like, you know, that phrase that I like read the room. That, just that sense of like when you walk into a situation, like try to be sensitive to what happened before you arrived there and what's normal there. And I think like a good waitron will be able to read the room. And a good waitron will know, don't interrupt us while we're talking. Don't ask if I want more water. Of course I want more water. But by the transitive property, I think a customer should do the same. And they, you know what? They don't need to be entertained.
Mm. Yeah, no. Body posture. No. You super have to read body posture.
That's true.
Kevin, can I share a Whole Foods thing that you posted one time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Kevin,
I used to work at Whole Foods.
Kevin fairly recently had a job at Whole Foods. And well, first of all, I want to get into cart return etiquette. That's a big topic.
How long do you have?
Another thing is that it was part of your training at Whole Foods. I know this because it was in one of your comics.
Oh, yes.
That when you're walking through the store, like restocking something or whatever, you're supposed, as an employee, you're supposed to recognize the path of the customer and never obstruct their path.
Keep moving or get out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. You do not want to impede the shopper.
Yes. You
the
do customer. Not want to impede the shopper.
So you're like a British servant or a prisoner. You like just stand with your back against the wall when the warden comes through.
Right. You put your hands up so they can see that you're not about to do anything with them.
You put your palms against the wall. You lean forward, hood of the car.
Outturn your pockets.
Okay, ma'am, I'm going to reach for the chili paste.
I'm restocking the salsas.
Oh, yeah. You know what other story we should talk about? We all went out for bagels last week, and I got pulled over.
Oh!
Oh, my God. Can we
talk about this?
I'll just tell this, but I do want to get back to the shopping cart.
Okay.
So put that, we'll go on up on the stack here.
Table
we just went out for, it's not that great of a story, but we just went out for bagels. I mean, we were looking for a parking spot, and it was admittedly a very confusing intersection with, like, a train station and lots of shit going down. But I guess I just blew through a stop sign with a cop car directly behind me, and I just didn't. It wasn't.
Oh, man.
I wasn't actually trying to flaunt the rules or anything. I just legitimately did not notice this stop sign, and there was no other traffic, so I had no reason to.
I can confirm that I have seen Max flaunt the rules, and you were genuinely driving like a safe, good person on the road.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was tweeting and looking for a parking spot. But, but other than that, I was driving quite safely. And so, of course, the cop pulls me over, and, you know, I don't love dealing with the – I don't really have any reason for this, but I just don't love dealing with the police. Hmm. And so I, like, you know, I, like, put my hands on the wheel, and I rolled down the window, and I turned the music off, and the guy's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, no. And he was like – he was pretty exasperated, right? He's like
– he was furious.
He was like, you can't just roll through a stop sign with a police officer behind you. And then he – and then he, like – he was really mad at me, and I was like, I'm sorry.
It was about him, though. It was about you not noticing him and being deferential.
Absolutely.
That's the number one thing he was mad about. And he was really upset. I agree. And then he asked to see my license, but he only wanted me to hold it up. So he was like, hold your license up. And I was like,
maybe he's a germaphobe.
And I was like, do you want it? And he was like, just hold it up. And he like sort of squinted at it in a perfunctory way. And then he was like, don't do it again. And he drove away. And I was stunned. He didn't give me a warning or yell at me or any. He was just exasperated.
I have a theory about the license.
Me too.
He wanted to double make sure that you were white and that you had a very white name.
And that you had a license, period.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. That could be it.
Yeah. It was like, you know what? He looks white, but I just want to make sure.
No, you're right. I think that's Alex. I think that's very observant.
I think he just wanted to, he wasn't trying to screw you over unless you didn't have a license on you. Right.
Oh, he was like, what's the least I can do here?
Yeah.
But yeah, I get it.
How can I nail this guy?
Yeah, I understand why he was mad at me, but I also sometimes you just make a mistake when you're driving. I feel like no one talks about this, but like, it's not always like.
Sometimes you just make a mistake and you drive through the window of a grocery store.
There's a difference between losing something and misplacing something or mislaying something. Mm-hmm. It's like costly and expensive. In your case, you weren't flaunting the laws. You just didn't observe them.
Right.
I think we have to be honest. Sometimes you just make an oopsie doopsie.
You know, Merlin, I did not get a copy of these comments 24 hours before the podcast, and I would move to table this conversation.
I'm going to move to table the gentleman. We watched it this morning as a family. I woke up at 5:30. I was like, I need to watch the pre-coverage.
All right, Kevin, shopping carts. We'll come back. We come around. We got to come back. Okay. This is a whole segment.
Oh, God.
Kevin, can you talk about the grocery? So you have some experience as the cart wrangler
It was my chosen. During your shift, there's any given number of duties that you might have to perform. And my chosen.
Do they have names, Kevin? Do they have names for the different jobs?
Oh, absolutely they do.
Tell me the names of the jobs.
I mean, there's just cashier and.
Cashier. Stocker?
Well, so that's a different department. That's grocery. Mm. I was on the customer service team.
I have a quick cashier question. What's the procedure around asking people to donate to the fake charities?
You're supposed to do it.
You have to ask the customer.
If they catch you not doing it, or if they notice that you're not doing it, they'll be like, "Hey, can you do this?"
Ugh.
Okay, point of information, what is the policy on complimenting people's decisions?
Oh, that's part of it. Yeah, that's totally part of it. You learned that.
Oh.
You chose the good
one. Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, I see you've got some salmon and some lemons. Are you,
Are you encouraged to draw implications?
Oh, for sure.
You got an eating disorder.
Yeah, exactly.
You seem like a cutter.
You're buying a lot of Ensure.
Do you have problems fully evacuating? That's a lot of brand for someone in college. Yeah, I saw on your keychain. I saw you.
Oh boy,
it's not creepy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I bet one nice thing. I always chose jobs where I didn't have to deal with people. Mm. And it seems to me that being the cartier would be nice because you could go outside and mostly just have a break outdoors, not around your boss.
Yes, and you can be on your phone.
Oh,
nice.
Yep.
You had phones then.
Yeah,
okay.
we had phones.
As long as 6 months ago, there were phones in existence.
They were also hooked up to this thing called the internet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fancy.
I could perform Twitter on my phone while I was doing I was actively serving the Whole Foods market. you wear a little reflective vest.
It's a tremendous look.
And when it's really cold out, like it is in Chicago frequently, you get to wear a big puffy reflective jacket.
It's like a store jacket.
Do you share it between associates?
Yes. There's only one. And so if there are more than one person going on cart duty in the winter, one person gets the jacket and the other one has to wear the vest, which is sleeveless and made of mesh.
Is it laundered?
Oh no, it's not laundered. Why would it be laundered?
Oh come on, that's like wearing a Goofy head without washing it. That's no good.
Yeah, you get all the body stink.
Okay, sorry, we're taking off your story. Cart return. Mm-hmm. Cart return.
What do you want to know about it? It's awful, and the customers are miserable and can't. There's no spatial recognition on their part.
You could tell everything. You know, people say you can tell what you need to know about somebody from how they treat the waitron.
For sure.
I feel like I judge people so harshly based on what they do with their cart.
Oh, I completely agree.
And there's like four ways you can deal with a cart, and there's one of them that's right, and there's three that are wrong.
So let's start here. What you should do with the cart is wheel it into one of the corrals.
Return it to the corral.
Now, does it matter how you put it in the corral?
Yes, it super matters.
Go on.
Pound sign woke. Whoa.
So, I don't know. This is like an organizational thing. And I feel like people, like when they're learning like motor skills and spatial recognition and like round shape in round hole, they learn like these are the carts and they slot together in a very obvious way. If you've been to the grocery store once, you recognize that they're designed specifically to slot together, right?
Absolutely.
So when someone just kind of like bowls their cart into it and it like jumps up into an angle or whatever and it disrupts the
if you just sort of glide your cart and just toss it in and let it roll in at a 45 degree angle, yours is not stacked, but all the ones behind it aren't stacked.
No, you're screwed. If you ghost ride your cart into the assembly, you're not helping
anyone. And that's a whole other can of worms too, because there's the people who like will walk their cart up, right, and they'll just leave it in there and they'll slot it in, or they'll like fully take it, walk it to the corral. And then there's the people who get maybe 10 feet from the corral and, like I said, they bowl it at the corral, just like this is a game for them, or that they can't go all like they're oh I got I really got to get back to my car, you know, my groceries are in there. don't worry, the windows rolled down and his favorite music's on and the air conditioning's blaring.
Somebody once told me. You know it's a guy in an SUV. I bet there's a strict correlation between people in SUVs and just leaving their cart on a grassy island.
Now, I've been in situations where I haven't returned my cart. Although they're
what?
Where'd you leave it?
Well, okay, come so here's on. I have been to huge megalopolis grocery store right. factories. Not in the city. This is more of a suburbs thing. And occasionally the parking lot is so poorly designed that they're like, is not a place for me to put my cart.
Not enough corrals.
No.
You didn't put it back because it's a design problem?
It is. It's a...
No.
Tis a poor worksman who blames his tools.
And listen, if it's so far away that I have to like... If it's like an unbelievable inconvenience for me to bring the cart like to the assigned
place. What are you doing with that time that wouldn't be?
Is there a pregnant woman in your car?
He's tweeting.
He's tweeting. I have tweets to make. I have content.
Well, I don't know. What else do I probably come? I'm probably running late to come back to the office and give you guys a raise.
I have big balls full of content.
I'm a designer and I need to post.
No, I don't know what I'm doing with that. I feel very attacked
right
now, but I don't.
No,
I don't. Yeah. It's the whole grocery store is a horrible experience.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And, uh-huh. and then the returning the cart, and then when you get there, and you've had to walk all the way across this fucking Pacific Ocean of cars to get to your vehicle, and you got lost, and you found it, and then you're looking around, and there's no place for the cart. It's the final slap in the face. So I'll just sort of leave. Usually, what happens is in those scenarios, the parking lot is so poorly designed that other people have started a little little trash island of carts.
Yes, the island of lost toys.
Yeah.
Oh, like ant trails. Yeah, like you get like this accidental cart
and then
island.
And then the comforting fiction I tell myself is like, well, maybe someone knew what they were doing. Maybe those are supposed to be there because there's already 12 carts there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. You know, interesting.
Yeah, like you see where people walk before you make the sidewalks.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. If I think about it, I know that those carts aren't supposed to be there.
But like, so no. In what world did you think you'd come out of this story?
So that's...
He's very busy.
This is the whole process of like the cart wrangler is the most Sisyphean task out of all of the Whole Foods jobs.
No. It's like, is that the official name?
Cart wrangler. I don't...
The Sisyphus.
The Sisyphus.
He's the vested Sisyphus. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay, we're done with this, Kevin.
Someone's
on.
ASMR.
Yep.
No, it's the, because the goal, right, it's game of, you can gamify it in your head, right? And if you're a person who really likes having a task and completing the task and putting everything back where it goes, it's really appealing, right? Because it's like, I can get all these carts to back in the main corral in like 20 minutes, and then I have 10 minutes to just kind of like walk around and like let all the carts pile up, and like, ooh, this is my reset me time, right?
The pleasure of taking the carts from chaos to order,
yes,
would be,
exactly.
I really could get into that. The part that would drive me, and I actually,
absolutely. I mean, it's like tagging MP3s. It's like a reverse mise en place to put everything back in order.
I love that in my house when there's a big mess.
It's puttering. It's power puttering. It's a fantastic feeling.
It's a big power putter. But one of my favorite feelings in the house is when you know something needs to get organized. And then you know, this is something I think is very smart about Marie Kondo, which is she takes it all out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, the arrow's got to go all the way through before it can come out. You can't just organize in the drawers, right? The whole drawer's got to get emptied out, and you're going to go through and put stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
I love the feeling of going from the big pile to, like, then you discover the system, and then it all goes back. The thing that would drive me to the point of, like, insanity is that it's never done.
It's that
you finish the carts, and then there's more, even more carts than when you started.
That's the lesson.
Yeah.
So that's the very zen-like lesson that you have to learn when you're doing this job. And, like, being a very high-stress person, I used to get so freaked out by the concept of, like, no matter how many carts I push, they're never going to be back. There's no way that I'm ever going to fix this problem. And then you just kind of have to learn that, like, you go at your own pace, and someone's going to come to relieve you, and it's going to be there. Like, the carts are never going to all fully be back until 10 p.m. when the store closes, right? Like, they're just kind of going to be in, like, their place to be is out and about and in dumb shit cart islands. Like that is the role of the cart. And
you're fighting chaos, entropy. Right. Like no matter what you do, and even then you get like a 6-hour break before we start it all mm-hmm. over again.
Yeah, and you come right back the next day, and you walk up to the building, and there's a cart just like out in front on the sidewalk.
When I worked in a restaurant, I used to have. I think a lot of people who've worked in front of house and restaurants have had this nightmare or this dream. Two parts to mine was, first of all, that the restaurant I worked at was in my house. Like it was inescapable, but the big part that the servers, and at the time I was a busboy, was my first job, was that like there's endless tables to be cleaned, and it just goes on and on, and everyone you clean, like it's like a hydra, mm-hmm. like two more open up, and you need to get like a whole different like state of mind or different paradigm to look at that work. I mean, the worst job ever, TSA. Like, imagine being the person who has to say only this much liquid, and like 3 out of 10 people are gonna come with like a water cannon onto the plane, and that's the rest of your life now, is saying that, knowing that almost everybody you encounter every couple minutes will have water. I think it was probably good for you, Kevin. You've learned not to have hope.
It was a life experience for sure.
Other than the 10 years you've lost on your life from anxiety. Mm.
Was it a nice place? Was it a nice place to work in general?
Yeah, it was complicated. It's like any service job. Like you, mm-hmm. customers, and it depends on the neighborhood you're in.
It's only as good as the people you have to work with, right?
For sure. Yeah, like I was very lucky that I had good coworkers who were. I mean, like it's funny because like the Whole Foods, I think, like workforce is made up of like 80% artists who have Whole Foods is their side gig or whatever, and they're like, well, they're in a band or they're, you know.
It's very Starbucks in that way, yeah. I'm told.
It's also like very Starbucks-y in that it has corporate culture, and like there's, I mean, it paints a very like, we're the cool one, right? Like,
do you have to wear a white mm-hmm. person hat?
No. You do have to wear a hat if you're going in any like prep areas. And if you don't have your own hat, you have to wear one that is provided for you.
No.
And there were three hats that were the community
no.
hats.
Oh no.
Yeah. Was one of them a dunce cap?
They were all, I mean, they might as well have
had a dunce cap, they had a propeller hat.
And they had a goofy head.
A goofy head.
Do 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 do. Yeah. I like groceries.
So there was some other cart stuff that kind of blew my mind.
My God.
Occasionally.
This is a whole podcast.
Okay. Get a sandwich. It's going to be one of those.
We haven't even talked about Survivor yet.
Listen, I'm telling you, this is. Oh, well.
Kevin, how much did you have to wash your hands? Tell me how you washed your hands.
Did you have to wash your hands a lot?
Oh my God.
Yes. You did? Do you know about the danger zone? You know about the danger zone.
Hot hands.
Go on.
The temperature danger zone for food safety.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we had to learn all that shit. All the food safety stuff.
No, it's really serious. I learned recently that...
Carts are filthy. Carts are the filthiest. Yes. There's a reason they started putting those disinfecting wipes that don't do anything next to the door.
What? They don't do anything?
They don't do anything. A baby with a poopy diaper has been in every cart recently.
Where do those wipes go after you're done wiping down your cart?
That's what Michael Stipe says. When you throw something away, wears away.
It's like a wet... mass in the bottom of the cart.
Yeah, it goes in the cup holder that's in the cart for your beer while you're shopping.
Now, listen, you know, Dr. Don, if he was on, I think Dr. Don would say that those disinfectant wipes that they do something. But what do we know about Dr. Don? He's in the pocket of Big Purell, okay? He's trying to move product here. I think that the jury is still out. I think there's no way to know about those pocket wipes.
All the times that he lied about disinfectants, was that to help Mr. Trump?
Well, I don't know. In addition, they may cause autism. Just a little theory I'm working on.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Don't wipe your kids.
Oh, God.
Anti-wipers.
Max, can you talk
Kevin,
about...
sometimes oh people will... I have more cart questions. Sometimes the guy is has the big line of the big centipede of carts, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's that called?
Carts.
You don't call it the centipede? Okay.
No, you don't call it
the... So
they
have the big centipede of carts, and someone will come up to them and be like, oh, here, one more.
Is that helpful? No, it's not helpful at all.
Oh, I always feel like I'm helping.
This is probably a common misconception. Oh. And, like, in my head, it's not helpful because also there's so much, like, passive-aggressive, like, can I give you my cart? Like, are you the cart? Are you the one? Are you the one? Is it you?
But because it kind of hangs on this presumption that you're excited about new carts. It kind of is like, here's another one for you, buddy.
Yeah, like, I love what I'm doing right now.
I love carts. I'm garçon, cart boy.
I'm out here to catch them all.
Cartier.
Carting is my passion.
You know, I play in a band just because, you gotta make income somehow. But I'm really in it for the carts, you know.
They're paying me to do this, but you know what? I would do it if they weren't.
I play bass for fun, but I'm a Cartier Pokemon for joy.
Cart boy.
Oh, I can only say my name.
Cart boy.
Any more other cart questions?
At Disneyland, there I learned about this thing when I was there, where they paint. There's a lot of stuff that's painted green. I don't have my phone or anything.
No, it's called No See It Green.
No
See 'Em
Green,
like
I think is what it's called.
Oh. Something like that. Yeah, there's I learned from YouTube videos. There's a name for it.
Yeah, you can look this up. But basically,
it's the least noticeable color to an American's eye.
Yeah. So basically, like, it kind of fits in. It kind of almost like looks like part of the tree line or something. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. So like. One example I saw that I'll give is in...
Go Away Green.
Okay. Go Away Green, okay.
Oh,
so one example I saw was on Main Street in Magic Kingdom in California. They have these old-timey 1950s street lights, right, mm-hmm. that are like part of the setting of Main Street.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Then, those are painted and they look just like street lights. Then above the street light, the pole keeps going up like 20 feet. And it has theatrical lighting on it to like light the street for the parades and stuff at night.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you don't see that because when they switch and the pole is now painted No See 'Em Green going all the way up. And it's weird. It has mm-hmm. this effect of when you look at it, you can like see half of the pole but not other ones. They also have like...
Or like it could be... It's a lot of stuff. It's like maintenance things, service doorways, under construction like fences when they put up like the fence as a screen for you to not notice it. And like, but Max is absolutely right. You will not notice it until you notice it, and then you will never not notice it. You'll realize how much stuff in the park is painted this color that you won't
notice.
Like
the door of Club 33.
Is this a Disney exclusive thing?
So I feel like the No See 'Em Green.
Yeah.
No, I think it's used everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's a known sort of.
It's a 99% invisible.
It's a 99% invisible thing. Yeah, I think it's a thing that's used in places by people who know about stuff.
Ooh,
but I have a feeling that in the grocery store, once you put on that orange vest, the reflective vest, it's a kind of human No See 'Em Green, where the person disappears. I'm not thinking about, is this guy making benefits and what's his life like and does he play bass?
Yeah.
It's a kind of like you become.
It's like putting a hood on a sexual partner,
right?
Except in an employment context.
Yeah.
In a loving way.
I would be happier if it was one of those weird robots.
Like the cart robot?
Oh, the one they talked about on ATP, right. Like the robot that goes around the store looking for spills.
It doesn't clean them up, it just bellows. Bot. It's like my cat when she catches a bug. She can't kill it, but she'll cry.
Spill.
Help me. I subdued him off.
Spill. It's like a Frankenstein monster for noticing things but not doing anything. Spill!
Mop! Bring!
That's horrifying.
Oh, God.
I have not been to a Whole Foods in forever. My wife, I am part of the supporting the gig economy. I'm the worst. My wife does go to Whole Foods, and she says it's real different than it was before Amazon.
It's all Amazoned out.
It's wild.
Is it really? Is that true? Tell me more about that.
I worked there through the change, so when I was there...
The change.
But in the before time and before, then after
before
time.
Whole Foods had its menopause moment.
Is
it hot in
the
here?
Day that they announced the buyout, people came to work like, what's gonna happen? Like there would all of a sudden be some sort of like Jeff Bezos himself was gonna walk through the doors.
The entire store is replaced with HDMI cables.
Bippity boppity boo, he's just like looking at shit and turning it into like kiosks.
He comes through in a trench coat, like, no more apples.
Oh my.
And then laughs maniacally for 25 minutes.
No, it's so they're definitely pushing Prime memberships. Yeah. Like I see like a lot of signage around the store where it's like saving with Prime.
You get
the new like checkout procedure is that you open the Amazon app and then you go into a submenu of a submenu to find this like QR code and then you hold the QR code up and they scan it and it gives you 12 cents off your
Prime person?
Your like waxy produce.
Yeah. Your waxy produce.
It is. It's waxy.
I love my waxy produce.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? You like scan your Amazon app.
I haven't been to a Whole Foods in a while.
I'll also confess that I have my setup for groceries right now is pretty sweet. I do the Amazon grocery delivery, which is like free for me for like. Prime Now for Whole Foods. It's like Prime Now for Whole Foods, or
if you're a Prime member and it's in your area, you have this thing called Prime Now that'll usually deliver in a 2-hour window, and it's a ton of like the stuff you would want from Amazon, and it's algorithmically picked brilliantly. But then there's a separate section just for restaurants, and there's a separate section for Whole Foods.
It's called like Fresh, isn't it? Like Prime Fresh or something. They have a.
I'm sorry, you're talking about a different thing. Yes. There's the separate subscription service that I think is called Amazon Fresh.
So yeah. I get my groceries from Amazon Fresh, and they come from Whole Foods. And anything that's a packaged good, anything from the center of the store, I just order there because it's, you know, what do I need to go to the store to get like a King Arthur flower, like, or a thing of LaCroix, like anyone, like I don't need to pick
like
that.
The shop, the perimeter thing is the
right.
Is,
and then I go to like, interior. I have a little bodega in my neighborhood that, and so I go there for my like, but it's they have like great produce and stuff. So I go there
that.
For my produce.
I used to live right behind a Jewel and Edgewater Produce. I could go get good produce and good food and then go
get cereal
or whatever.
Swing that so that you go pick your produce out of a little market that's basically like what you want is just the outside of the grocery store in one building and then have the internet deliver the inside of the grocery store.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, like with Instacart or with some of these things, sometimes the replacements that they come up with are hilarious. Yes. There should be a Tumblr about this. We asked for avocado sushi for my kids' lunch. We asked for avocado sushi, and they gave us sweet potato and kale salad as a replacement.
Not even in the ballpark.
Not really. Not what I would have picked. Or my favorite also when you say, like, I need number 4 coffee filters, they get you 2 number 2 coffee filters. Math adds up.
Plus 2 equals 4.
Yeah.
This is just a 5 box stars. Full of nails.
It's full of bees. So Max, you that's a pretty good setup, and that works for you. I love your middle of the store thing, though. I never thought of it quite that way, but it's really true. If it's something that you don't need to thump or pluck or listen to or like pick the best avocado, it doesn't matter. It's just a box.
Yeah, it's Pamplemousse LaCroix, no matter who buys
it. A motorcycle.
Is that Motorcycle Boy?
No, they have different motorcycles. Sorry, no. Motorcycle Boy leaves around 8:40.
He's really revving up this morning.
Motorcycle Boy.
Wow, they're fucking tearing it up.
Oh.
Is it Bike Week? You got Bike Week down there?
Merlin, is he popping? Is he doing that thing where he pops up on just the back wheel?
Yeah, it's called San Francisco Wheelie.
I've had those.
You know, when I was in San Francisco and I saw a man doing a San Francisco wheelie on a light pole.
In New Orleans, that'll cost you $100. Looks like nothing to me. Yeah, it's a complicated time to do anything.
I go to the Jewel Osco. I walk to the Jewel Osco like a normal adult.
I go to my old Jewel Osco.
Oh,
yeah.
Can we talk about Survivor? Oh, well, should we get to our
I
challenge?
I watched it. Can I talk about Survivor 2?
You did?
Yeah, I did.
It's time. Can we talk about
the
challenge?
It's now part of my goddamn job.
Whatever Max likes this week is your job now.
Wait, we have to come back. But hang on.
No comments.
So there's a ton. The political news is insane today, but I almost feel like we shouldn't talk about it because like it's happening right now. Like by the time people hear this, it's already going to be...
I recorded Reconcilable Differences last night and came home just as Cohen's opening statement was released.
Oh, I'll probably get some questions about this, but I am very excited about the Chicago elections. Couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
Couldn't be happier with the
Chicago. Oh, good. There's like 14 people running. Is that right?
So the election was yesterday. There's a runoff. So basically the top 2 vote getters moved to a runoff. And all around the board, I couldn't be happier. There were a bunch of Democratic Socialists got elected and unseated incumbents. My guy Carlos Rosa got elected, I think, without a runoff. And then the two mayoral candidates who advanced for runoff are Lori Lightfoot and Tony Preckwinkle. And honestly, couldn't be happier. I mean, it will be the first non-white guy mayor of Chicago in my lifetime, which is cool.
Oh yeah,
they're both very progressive.
No dailies at all.
He conceded.
He was the Jeb. He was the Jeb of this race.
Yes.
Like, he spent like. Did you see the cost? See, I don't know anything with me, but Alex, pull up that tweet that I made.
He spent like millions of dollars to say, my name's Daly.
The cost per vote of Daly, he spent like $150 per vote, and Lori Lightfoot spent like $12 per vote. Like,
wow.
The disparity of what they spent per vote was shocking. Like, I couldn't believe it. And yeah, he didn't even get into the runoff, so I just couldn't be more thrilled.
Yeah, it's wild.
If the election was today, I'd probably vote for Lori Lightfoot. I think she's like slightly more progressive on a bunch of issues that I care about. But it really doesn't matter. Like, it does matter. We can't lose.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing for the city no matter who wins.
Daly spent $121.77 per voter.
I could get you four avocados at the Whole Foods.
That's quite a customer acquisition cost.
San Francisco wheelie.
More like whole paycheck.
Oh man,
that sounds like that's exciting.
Mm. Yeah, it was a big night. And what was Lori Lightfoot?
Probably 30. Oh wow, $18.20.
Is everyone in this race a character from a Marvel comic?
Right.
Lori Lightfoot sounds like my halfling thief or whatever.
That's my fursona.
Yeah.
I'm a little rabbit.
And then who was the guy who just went around handing out wads of cash to everyone? Willie Wilson.
Willie Wilson?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Did Stan Lee name all of these characters?
Willie Wilson got bit by a radioactive mare.
And now he has the proportionate strength and skills of a mare.
A mare man.
Mare man. Mayor man. Mayor man. Wherever an alderman.
Willie Wilson
takes a bribe any size, puts it right between his thighs. Look out, here comes the mayor man.
His campaign strategy was literally that he went around handing out cash to people.
Mr. Mayor Man.
And he got photographed doing it, and he was just like, yeah, this is what everyone wants, is cash. And he did quite well.
Show me the rule. Show me the rule. Show me the rule that I can't do this.
That was his campaign. He went around giving wads of cash out to people, and it was very successful for him. I think he probably spent less than Daly.
He did. So, his wow, $32.38.
In cash.
All in cash.
Good
yeah.
for you, buddy, I guess. Oh.
Well, anyhow, unless anyone has any other, I think we're going to have to talk about all the politics news next week, just because we don't know what the fuck is happening right now.
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything else before we advance?
No, we're good. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Challenge. Max's challenge this week.
It was watch the new season of Survivor at your close personal friend Jeff Probst's house.
How did that go? What does it smell like?
You know what? I feel maybe in the after show I'll get into a slightly more detail, but like I'm not gonna like super brag on Jeff Probst, but I have to say, like, it's the second time I've hung out with him.
That comma's doing a lot of work there.
It's the second time I've hung out with him.
I'm not gonna super brag about Jeff Probst.
No,
comma.
All right, get it out.
I was looking forward to the third time I spent some time with Jeff Probst on TV.
I've met lots of.
You guys ever heard of Matt Lucas?
In my work, I've met lots of like celebs and politicians or whatever. And a sign of like someone, a lot of people like kind of don't give a shit about you if you can't do anything for them, and they don't remember it. You're just so transparently like not a full human being to them, and I really have nothing to offer Jeff Probst. Like, I think he's cool. I enjoy talking about Survivor with him, but like, he doesn't. Like, I mean, like, I just have nothing for him, right? Like, I'm not. I like. he doesn't think it's cool that I make like got a novelty card game.
Right.
Yeah, and he was so kind. I mean, he was so generous. He remembered our conversations at the conference we were at together and like had like follow-up questions. Like he was just the sweetest, nicest guy. He was so happy to have everyone over, like such a generous host. He has one of the most beautiful houses I've ever seen in my entire life. Like it was a great experience, and I didn't steal anything.
Yeah. Now, what we really care about though, Mark Burnett.
So was he there? Mark Burnett was. I did get a text from my friend who kind of invited me to go to this thing, and at the time when we had made the plans, it was going to be like a few of us hanging out with mm-hmm. Jeff and watching the thing, and then it turned into quite a gathering of people in Jeff's sort of like theater slash living room, like all sitting around watching this thing. And I got the text like a couple hours before I went, and they're like, hey, don't freak out, but Mark Burnett is coming, and like don't do anything. Like they knew me well enough to be like, don't do anything weird, right? Like this is my friend, so like don't embarrass me at Probst's house and
don't wear a t-shirt with a message.
Boy, what did I
know? Produce the videos, you coward. Yeah. Why'd you get that on a shirt? You'll see. go to Jeff Probst's house.
I did meet Mark Burnett, and I would say I thought, what can I say about him? First of all, he's British. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. I didn't know that. And I don't know. He has one of those big personalities. Like, it almost reminded me of I was at the Democratic Convention one time, and I didn't meet him really, but I was like in the room with Bill Clinton. And this feeling I got when Bill Clinton came into the room was like, the lights got brighter, and I can't describe it. It's like the hair stands up on the back of your neck, and it's just, and it's not me. It's like everybody feels it. It's like something, like the pressure dropped in the room or something. Like, I don't know how to say it. It's like a million years of like monkey brain trying to figure out the like hierarchy of the tribe of monkeys is responding to something about this guy, his aura or his pheromones, or I don't, something is happening, and he comes into the room, and you're just like, It's like I just sensed a great disturbance in the forest. Like you can just.
Is this a very long way of saying you're gay for Mark Burnett? Because I really want to know where this is going.
Yeah, no, Mark Burnett has that. He has that. Like he came in the room and everyone got quiet. Like I don't know. Yeah. It's like he's got that energy. I don't know what to say. It's hard for me to put my finger on it. Except I think if you've had an experience of, I felt this once when we were in a bar. Alex, do you remember when we were in the basement of Drink waiting to get in a drink and Charlize Theron came in and blew in. Were you there with us?
I was not there.
And she had the iPad with her
with
child.
The African child. African baby. Yeah, no.
I felt
yeah.
it then too, and I didn't know who the fuck it was because I don't. Well, I'm not going to recognize Charlize Theron, but the feeling I got was like it was like, are the lights flickering in here? Like I was like, what is going on? Like you just felt it. The whole energy of the room changed, and I was like, a powerful like wizard just came in here. Like what is this? Like. It's crazy. It's like when like Dumbledore comes into the room and all the doors slam shut behind him or something.
I want to know what it was like to watch Mark Burnett watch Survivor.
Well, it was fun. I mean, it was normal. I mean, we were all sitting in sort of couches. Like I think it was Jeff arranged his living room facing this like huge projector screen. So we weren't. It was like we were all sitting in rows of couches, and there wasn't a ton of interaction. Like people did get really. It was fun. It was fun as fuck. Like everyone was cheering.
Nice.
Like we watched it on some sort of TiVo or something. So Jeff had to fast forward through the commercials, which was funny. Like I thought maybe he'd have some sort of like
special like
some sort of like
screening, but no.
Some sort of laser disc and a butler with white gloves would like put it into the player. But no, it was we just watched it on his TiVo, and it was great. And he has it was an amazing AV system, so it was like nice to really like see the edit, and I thought it was like a super. We'll talk about the episode in a second too, but I thought it was super super high production episode of Survivor. And then afterwards, Mark Burnett sort of hold forth, and he sort of talked about the show and the season, and everyone sort of sat there and listened to him pontificate, and that was interesting. I mean, it was spellbinding. Like I couldn't almost tell you what he said. It was like listening to Trump speak. Like I can't tell you what he said, but I just got the feeling of like. What is that? What is that when you hear Trump speak and you're like, something's happening here. I don't know what he's saying.
Did either of you or any of you, there's so many people. Hi, Kevin. Read the article. I think it was Entertainment Weekly that was basically an expose of the first day of shooting.
That was fucking incredible.
It was wild.
Merlin, do you know what we're talking about?
No.
This is really up your alley. You should read it. It's
EW Survivor First Day.
It's remarkable.
It's an TikTok like minute by minute.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, that sounds great. Behind the scenes of the marooning.
Yes, that's so exactly good. It. And it goes minute by minute. What does the production crew get ready for that first thing where they all jump off the boat? And that is the level of detail I want when I'm like, how does this show get made? It actually goes into it.
Good. Yeah, it's everything we want. And now I'm searching for like Reddit threads and stuff for basically the rest of the season. Like it is, it's amazing.
But can't you just watch the show?
No, but they don't explain the rules for the challenge.
It's on every week.
But this
challenge.
I've now watched I think 12 seasons of Survivor, and I still have so many questions every single episode. But I have a question for you, Merlin. How many people do you think work on location on Survivor?
35.
Is that a serious answer?
How the fuck would I have any idea how many people work on? I have a child and a Twitter account.
Merlin, you should be ashamed. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I do up to 4 podcasts. I have a child and a Twitter account. How in the fuck would I have any idea?
Okay, Merlin,
you should, so 20 people, 21 people, 22.
You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed of yourself.
26. No, I'm going to say 5 people work on this
show. You're just digging. You're making it worse.
Alex made
73 people.
Oh, this is so shameful.
Over 650 people.
That's crazy.
What?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Isn't that remarkable?
Like, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No, I'm lying.
Would Entertainment Weekly lie to you?
No. I think they're owned by Warner.
And what's more adorable, spoilers for this article, every time a season starts, Jeff Probst.
No, don't spoil the article for me, Alex.
He takes a video. Oh, boy. Man, I love having Kevin here.
breakout character from the hit podcast Due by Friday, Kevin Bunnett.
Hey, watch it, buddy.
You know what? Let's give Kevin a few $100 to draw himself, please.
All right. All right, watch it. Don't watch it. Be careful. Yeah.
I don't know what it costs. You only wake me for the important meetings.
Kevin had to go back to his home planet.
Don't poochie me.
Oh, no.
You're going to space, buddy.
You're getting poochied real hard after this episode.
Oh, my God. Challenge.
Max went to Jeff Probst's house. Yeah. There's an article on a magazine. Are you saying there's 600 people? That's like crew, craft services.
I went to House of Pies in Los Feliz.
Okay.
And I got a beautiful glazed berry pie. Big pie in a nice box.
Oh, to bring to your friend Jeff's house?
To bring to Jeff's house.
Did you take any Imodium?
Did I? Oh, I was loaded up. Yeah, I was loaded up. Yeah. I had a whole pharmacy. And I was also like, I thought maybe, you know, Jeff and I had talked about magic, and he came to this magic session I did at this conference. And so I thought maybe people would want to see magic tricks because we had that interaction before.
Sure.
And so I was fucking strapped to the gills with magic stuff. Like, I had just like wires coming off my body and just like shit in my socks. And like, I just came in like 3 layers of trench coats deep with like magnets and pendulums and
like not jingling.
All just shaking when I walked, coins falling out of me. And I was like ready. I was like strapped to the gills, like ready to go. And nobody, it was like, it would have been so fucking weird to do any magic tricks at that party. Like, just not right.
I'm glad you waited and read the room, because I'm imagining you like pulling away your tearaway trousers and doves come flying out of your shirt. Blimey, governor, says Mark Burnett.
So I brought this pie.
We're going to talk about the season 38, episode 1 of Survivor.
And it was one of those situations where, like, I brought this pie, and then it sort of got taken out, but nobody, like, everyone was, like, scared to touch it. I don't know if anyone ate the pie or
did
not.
Did anybody else bring food?
Yeah, people brought stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was just...
There were, like, flowers and whiskeys and things like that. And there was food.
Wait, people brought flowers.
It's the premiere of a TV season.
Oh, I guess.
All right. Sure.
Yeah. I've never premiered a TV season. No,
yeah, I think that's a really nice gesture.
No, you're right.
Yeah. Listen, you hope if you're doing something for 20 years that people still give a shit enough to give you flowers when you do a new one.
Mm-hmm. Well, or $8 million a year.
It's
helps.
Not like It's not like it's much easier.
Okay, I'll take it.
Oh, I guess
fine.
So.
Hmm. I need new couches for my home theater. I want to see what you're playing for.
So did we like the first episode?
Anything else about carts?
Oh, God. Did we like the first episode? Kevin.
Have you seen Survivor before?
Yeah, no. I watched Survivor throughout most of my like middle school, high school experience. Yeah,
okay,
my parents and I watched it every Thursday night.
Okay. Do you have a favorite season?
I have favorite characters. My memory is very... Rupert.
Pirate.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have some very like spotty memories of it.
Is Rupert the guy with the crazy beard?
Yeah.
He's the big tie-dye shirt guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's the guy who hurt his dang toe. Yeah. Rupert. I love him. Oh, except for my dang toe.
Oh, Kevin, opinion on Ozzy.
Oh, is Ozzy on the new one? See,
no.
I'm also really bad with names.
He's the one who's got
the top knot and the mustache.
No, that's
Joe. Ozzy's the one who always wins. And
Ozzy is
awesome.
The one who's like, you could have played with honor, but you chose not to.
Oh,
yeah. He's not coach.
Judge me by my challenges, not by my final counsels.
He's not coach. He has very curly hair.
You're so full of shit, Alex.
He looks like the guy from Workaholics.
He's a good fucking fisherman too.
Yes,
he provides for that tribe.
He was the fisher. Yes,
he climbs trees like a monkey.
Yes,
yes, I remember him. Ooh, he was a good. He was, I think, the first sort of like when you start to recognize the archetypes of Survivor. He was the first one where it's like this is the young sort of dude who's like very buff and very tan and like really good around camp.
And it's really fun to watch later seasons as he slowly ages and recognizes his own mortality and doesn't win challenges anymore.
Wow.
I hate him so much.
I didn't get that at all.
Do we think Joe is hot? Because that's like a frequent theme.
Is Joe the mustache top knot?
He's on the new season. He's the returning guy from the new season. And it's like frequently.
He looks like he recently got promoted to head barista and really is feeling his oats.
But he's at one of those Starbucks Reserve stores where they have to wear like a trilby.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
He has owned a fedora.
on top, a tiny trilby on his top knot.
They constantly talk about how hot he is. Like in the live finales and stuff, they're constantly talking about how hot Joe is and how everyone wants to fuck him.
Yeah.
Do we feel like that?
No.
He's not my type. That's not.
Yeah.
He's interchangeable with Ozzy to me in my head. Like that is.
And Malcolm. Malcolm's another one in that.
Oh,
world.
If Malcolm shaved, he is an interesting looking person, I will say.
All right, Alex has some feelings.
Joe has a better. He's like, I want to hang out with Joe more than I want to hang out with Malcolm.
He's got a nice smile.
He does.
He like knows how to build shit.
Mm. Oh, Malcolm. I love Malcolm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was great.
Here's something I've noticed from later seasons. A lot of them have started to wear like Jeff Probst-y type like tribal necklaces, like there's seashells and stuff on them. Why is that? Because that seems like it's very easy to make a fake idol out of that.
Maybe
like
that's
right
it.
Away.
Oh. You know?
Yeah, I want to know the rules. Like I've read the rule book. And
maybe that's
the
thing they're making on the island for them. Like, what are you going to do? You sit there all day and you're bored.
No. But it's like the first episode, and they're all, you know, like, oh, I've got this seashell necklace, and I don't know.
Maybe it's just like the show culture thing. It's like they're like, oh, I'm going on Survivor. I got to sort of dress the part.
Necklace up.
Listen, I'll take anything I can bring. If you can get a piece of string on the island that way, like
right?
I'll do it. Like I'll bring anything
that's
I can.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Honestly.
Okay, did we like the first episode?
If I went on Survivor, all I would do is find some like flat rocks, and all I would do is just sit in the shelter and practice coin tricks. And by the time I got voted out in like week 32, I'd be so good at I'd be unbelievably good at coin tricks.
Would
like,
you carve a little face on one side and a little heads and tails of a coin?
Yeah, if I had, I don't know that that's that important for any tricks that I do where you need to know the heads and the tails. But if it was, I would do that. That's a good idea.
Okay, did we like this episode? Merlin?
Yeah, I mean, Survivor.
They're all the same.
No, it's they're fun. Not! They are not all the same! No.
I want to care about this one-tenth as much as you guys do. It's an entertaining TV show that's terrible.
Oh, my God,
it's a terrible TV show.
It is the best reality show, perhaps one of the best games that's ever been designed.
I agree.
The bar is so low, I can barely see it.
God.
I would say it's the greatest social experiment that's ever been on television.
Easily. No, it's good. It was good. I like Wendy.
I love Wendy. All right, a couple of... Who's Wendy? The colored hair girl?
Yeah. Oh, but don't do that.
She's so cute.
She does.
And then I do this with my hands. Mm.
Oh my God!
I love her so much.
She's not long for this world, I fear.
Yeah,
but,
I worry about
but,
that.
No, she's gonna go. I give her 3 weeks.
Yeah. I give her tonight.
Yeah, me too, Kevin.
When I was making my dossier, I was like, "Boy, this person's gonna be really obnoxious to watch on the island." And then when she got, I actually thought she was so likable. Like I hope she gets more stories. I thought that the production values on this episode were just out of control. I thought this was probably visually like the best looking Survivor episode that's ever been made. The opening package of this season where they had all the slow-mo shots of the contestants and everything was just like fucking stunning. Like the music was great. They had a new camera. They have a,
yes.
Did you notice
oh
that?
The,
they have a wire cam like the NFL uses. And so there were some shots where it went like shooting through the obstacle course. And at the time I was like, is that a fucking ballsy drone pilot who's doing that,
right? Like, and at first I was like, is this b-roll, which I wouldn't have a problem with, but then it's like, oh, clearly these are the contestants.
The shot I'm referring to is b-roll where it goes flying through the obstacle course.
No, but I think there's two, because
they did have some in the challenge. It's very kinetic, it looks really cool, it looks very, it's a great shot, and it's a new addition to the like visual vocabulary of Survivor. I thought it was really exciting. I think they're getting more funny and postmodern with their edits in general in Survivor. So like last season, there was a thing where everyone was out looking for the idol, and then it cuts to Davey, and he's like, "Well, I know that none of them have found the idol because I have it." And like they've literally never done that show's been on the air for 20 years, and they have never done an edit like that. They always you're always contemporaneous with the action, and just the whole notion of like the show knows something that you don't, and they're being a little coy, and they're making it. What is that? It's like more editorial in their edits. Mm-hmm. That's brand new, and I thought that was exhilarating, and there's clearly more of that this season. It feels very fresh. And then I don't want to ruin it for anyone who might watch, but there is, as per like the theme of the season, there's kind of a crazy thing that happens at the end of the episode. And I thought visually that's very different than anything they've done on Survivor before, the way that it was lit.
Oh, the reveal.
Well, they've never had that kind of lighting on Survivor before.
Right, right. It was very Blair Witch. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it was scary. At first I thought it was cheesy, and then I was genuinely like put on edge. And
I'm
I was
really
like,
curious
job.
To see what that is going to be like.
I mean, I was watching in a pretty primo like environment for being like a affected by it, but I was real affected by it. Like it really, I was really like, I was like, the hair was standing up on, I had chills. Like I thought it was great. I thought it was one of the best moments of Survivor.
Probably from all that Imodium.
the music was good. Wow. And the way they did the lighting of the torches.
You know how they always have a shot with Jeff where he's like 20 or what is it? For 39 days, 20 contestants, one.
Right. Like
there
used to be like a helicopter shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How that shot was crazy. It like zoomed all the way out into space.
Mm-hmm. I love that when the pullback and he's like, what?
Yeah.
Survivor.
And there are times when I'm concerned for his safety. Like he's perched on a rock.
I swear there was one season where he's like standing on top of a windmill that's in the ocean.
He's riding an orca whale.
He jumps out of the
one. Survivor.
He's flying through space in a human skull.
Survivor.